Current state on 90.5 WKAR. Election day is now just 2 weeks off. Democrats and Republicans in Michigan and across the country are rallying their bases in a final push to get out the vote. Some voters, though, lean toward other political persuasions. There's a handful of smaller independent parties out there, like the Green Party and the Libertarian Party. One such third party is blowing the dust off an old 19th century name and rebooting for a 21st century world. Current state's Kevin Lavery is here to explain. Kevin, what's the story with the modern Whig Party of America?
Well, Mark, first off, if you were absent the day your history class studied the Whig Party, then I'll give you a pass. The Whigs got started in the 1830s to oppose the Democrats, which were at the time led by President Andrew Jackson. The Whigs put four presidents into office before they finally broke up in the 1850s over the issue of slavery and were eventually superseded by the Republican Party. Even Abraham Lincoln started off his career as a Whig. Today, we've got the modern Whig Party of America, which does have a chapter here in Michigan. I spoke with Kevin Rogers about this group. He is the party's national vice chairman, and he told me that the modern Whigs were founded in 2007 mainly by a group of war veterans who had been in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Some of the soldiers who were serving over there decided that we needed an independent political voice. They were a little bit dismayed at the dysfunction in Congress. And then as the party began gaining momentum back here in the states and started to grow, we eventually had a state a national convention, I should say, in 2009. There were only 14 members, charter members at the time, but the party's grown since then.
So there are Whig members in how many states at this point?
We have chairs in all but 18 states at the moment. The party varies in size, going from state to state. Some are bigger than others. Our overall membership is hard to pin down right now because we're in the process of rebooting the party after a long, best described fallow period. So we have a lot of new members that have come on in the last few months as we've approached the election, and we're in the process of trying to re-energize the party and redirect it with a little bit more focus than we've seen in the past. I myself am a fairly new member.
Not many Americans, Kevin, have heard of or remember reading about the Whig Party from the 1830s on up to the beginning of the Civil War. It was, at least by today's standards, a pretty obscure political party. So I'm wondering what led your group to study the old Whig Party for inspiration. Why that particular group?
Well, that party was very interesting. Had a very interesting history. The party itself kind of grew out of the Jeffersonian Democrats. That's kind of where it started. It took a different turn after that. The original Whig Party, which we call the Old Whigs, our ancestors, so to speak, were very much into the modernization of the country. They wanted to build canals, roads to facilitate progress. They wanted a national bank to facilitate finance. The party eventually broke up over the slavery issue in the early 1850s, but for about 20 years, it was one of the two major parties in the United States, and actually four presidents served as Whigs. Abraham Lincoln himself was a Whig before the party collapsed.
Okay, so we'll fast forward to today, 100-plus years later. How do the modern Whigs differ from the traditional two parties, the Republicans and the Democrats? Are there philosophies that you substantially differ from those two? Are there some from each party that you have adopted?
There are actually some from each party we've adopted. We take the approach of methodology over ideology, and we don't think that the way to approach governance is through this ideological prism that leads you to have a very rigid way of looking at problems. We think that we're very pragmatic. We think that the best way to approach governance is to treat it as a public trust, that government is meant to serve the people and not to be a platform for what's become a money machine for the two major parties and the pressure groups around them.
What would be the Whig Party's plan for making wealth and income a much more level playing field in America?
Our economic plan revolves around job creation and job growth. We don't think the route to that is just through tax cuts. To simply say, well, if we just cut taxes, jobs will automatically grow. We think that the real key to it is first infrastructure development, rehabilitation of what we have, developing new 21st century infrastructure would certainly helped to create a lot of jobs. We think education is always the golden ticket, and that public-private partnerships dedicated to creating the workforce of the future would really go a long way to helping our labor and economic issues today. We think fair taxation would be a much better way to go than the tax system we have right now, which allows an awful lot of people to make an awful lot of money, barely paying any taxes on it at all through things like the carried interest exemption and a few other things. Lower tax rates with fewer loopholes, fewer exceptions, would be a great way to go, we think, in terms of making our country more equitable.
We're talking with Kevin Rogers, a spokesman for the Modern Whig Party of America. He's also the national vice chairman. As I understand, Kevin, one of your party's major planks has to do with something called approval voting, and it's a system that's not really in play now in our political process, but it's one that your group feels could benefit the Modern Whigs and really any third party. How does that work, and why invest effort in it?
Approval voting is a very, very simple change. What we have right now is single winner elections, and essentially when you go in to vote, you have a choice of only one candidate, and we feel that that doesn't accurately reflect the wishes of the electorate. A lot of people kind of hold their nose and vote for the least bad candidate, when instead they should be able to vote for all the candidates whom they approve of. So you would have, it's a simple change on the ballot where you would have a list of candidates and you can vote for more than one. In the end, the one who gets the most votes wins whatever seat they're running for, but it would give a more accurate view of where the electorate really is in terms of what they support, and it also opens up the process to independent voices. Right now, those voices are crowded out because we only have two choices, maybe three or four, on each ballot, and you only get to pick one. So, for instance, if you have a Republican, a Democrat, Green Party candidate, a Whig candidate, a Libertarian candidate, you can vote for more than one. You could vote for either of the major parties and for one of the independent parties if it's more closely aligned with the way you see things. It just opens the process up and allows independent voices to be heard.
Well, certainly the two main parties would not want to see vote splitting and something that would jeopardize their majority in an election. But down the road, after the election is over, even if a Whig candidate or a Libertarian or a Green Party candidate does not win, how would approval voting help them build credibility, political capital, later when they try to get back into the dialogue?
It would show support. You know, if you only have one choice on the ballot, if you can only pick one candidate on the ballot, it skews the results to make it appear that independent candidates, independent parties, have much less support than they may have, because people, when given a choice between voting for an independent candidate with no realistic chance of winning and a major candidate who they really don't get behind, who they just think is the least bad choice, are forced to vote for that least bad choice. So you might have a candidate, say a Republican candidate, winning 55% of the vote in an election, and a candidate, a Modern Whig, only getting 1%. And it seems like the Republican Party, the Republican candidate, has dwarfed the Whig candidate. That might not be the case. Given the opportunity to vote for both candidates, you might find the Whig candidate getting 30 or 35% of the vote. And that demonstrates more support within the electorate and a better reflection of the actual support within the electorate than simply having the choice between to vote for one candidate would provide.
Well, historically, we have had political leaders from both parties who've become disillusioned with their own caucuses, and they've split off and they've become independents. And I'm wondering, why would a candidate who was once a Democrat or a Republican want to hitch their wagon to the Whigs when they could perhaps say, I'm going to go my own way and be an independent, which I think that's a label that has a little more cachet even than the Whigs?
Possibly it could. The Modern Whig, certainly has the connotation. I'm sure a lot of people think of powdered wigs when they hear it, and we're fully aware of that. But, you know, what we are doing is connecting our modern approach to governance with a very firm tradition of pragmatic governance, public trust, common sense, centrist philosophy that really looks to treat government as the servant of the people. It's all about service, as far as we're concerned. Our motto is Common Sense, Courage, Country. We're very focused on the needs of the United States within the framework of our role in global politics and global finance and economics. But America first. We believe in courage in taking the stands to advocate the most pragmatic, achievable solutions to problems, and common sense. We think that a lot of the ideological ranting is more self-serving than serving the people.
We're talking with Kevin Rogers, the National Vice Chairman of the Modern Whig Party of America. Here in Michigan, certainly the first hurdle for the party, and I imagine pretty much in every state, is simply to get ballot access, to gather petition signatures, to even get the attention of individual secretaries of state. That probably won't happen in most places this election cycle.
It won't, and it is a gigantic problem for us and for all independent parties. We are having a tough time everywhere we look just getting a line on the ballot. And that's, of course, not unintentional. It's very, very difficult to gather enough signatures. There are a lot of electoral law rules. It's very, very difficult. And it's probably the biggest immediate challenge we face in terms of running candidates. It's something we're working very hard to comply with and get the signatures that we need. It's going to take us a little bit of time to do that.
Historically, third parties have really not done well in our country on a large scale. The last time a third party, an independent party, made any kind of a dent was 1912. It was the Progressive Party, the Bull Moose Party. Teddy Roosevelt, who had been a two-term Republican, broke away from his party and decided to give it another go as a bull moose. He was long after the Whig era, but is Teddy Roosevelt an inspiration to you?
He is. You know, in a lot of ways, his sort of vigorous, focused approach to government very much reflects our values. He's very much one of our leading lights. You know, his entire approach to foreign policy, to domestic policy, always seemed to be constructive. Doesn't mean it was perfect. There was certainly a lot of arguments you can make against a lot of things that he did as president and advocated as a candidate, as you always can. Nobody is ever going to be 100% in agreement with everybody else. We feel that his approach is what really matters, and that's the way we look at things. We try to be constructive, positive, and say that we can do the things we need to do. It's an American can-do attitude that we espouse.
Kevin Rogers is the National Vice Chairman of the Modern Whig Party of America. Kevin, pleasure talking with you and learning about our history and perhaps even our future.
Kevin, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.